will take care of you. Through days of dawn and hours of evil, I will take care of you. When dangers pierce your path of sail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All that you need, He will provide. God will take care . Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. For every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Laying weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care.
After this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without Thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life. To lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if flashing seas leap everywhere about me, they
do it in a fair and way to make the decisions that will make you more ready if it be done. We pray that you will all be looked down on with mercy and that you will continue to bless us. We thank you for the many blessings of this life that you have given us. Now we ask you to go with us and be with us throughout our lives. When this life is over, we pray that we'll have a home with you in heaven.
The song of invitation will be number 7.
Okay. It's good to have you with us tonight, to say the least, and we're glad that you've been part of this study, even this morning study. Luke 6 at verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what? Not the things that I say. Why would we call him Lord, Lord, and be people who did not put into practice what he says? Because he's talking about things that we should do that will help our lives. Did not tell us that he would give us all things and pertaining to the way that we follow his will and do his will in the Sermon on the Mount? When we find that way of life to do, and we can say that that's the word of the Lord, but I won't love like that. I won't be kind to others like that. I won't be helpful to others like that. I won't teach others the gospel about God about like that. What are we doing to ourselves? Are we not hurting ourselves? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21, there's a passage of scripture that sets forth for us by Jesus' own admission when he talks about this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Let's take a look at some of that particular verse of scripture as we go along here just a moment. In Matthew 7:21, when he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. Are there some people that say unto him, Lord, Lord, and then they do the will of the Father? Yes. And they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us how to enter in that kingdom, abundant entrance, by adding to our faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. If we add those things, we will be people who are given an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our God of heaven. If we don't get around to doing that and adding our ways of life of knowledge and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness, we don't become better at it. What are we doing to ourselves? Are we not disobeying the Lord and finding ourselves having to cling more and more to his mercy to forgive us because we knew what to do, but we never got around to doing it? Increase in knowledge and increase in patience, increase in brotherly kindness and love. We didn't get about to do that in our lives. Can people hear the difference between our love for them and telling them the gospel of Jesus Christ and just telling them to get them down the road to do the Lord's will? Can there be a difference in that way of life, of conversation on our part? You better believe it can be. And it's a shame that that is the case, because as we read along the way here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4, he says, if there come unto you those who teach another gospel. What about that? If there come to you those that teach another Christ, what should you do to that? If there come those who do other things and talk about other ways of administration about God's will, what should you do about that? And he tells them following, as you read back there in 2 Peter 1, increase in faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. And he says there in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, bear with such. What do you want them to do? Quickly get up in the pulpit and say, no, you're not teaching the right thing. You're not teaching the truthful thing. You end up in torment because of what you're teaching right here now. not quickly do that. No. He says, bear with it. If we bear with them in that regard, what are we going to be doing during that time that we bear with them? Teaching them, talking with them about it, getting the idea of how they got to another gospel. And that's what we're talking about tonight. If we take Jesus at his word and we follow his will we not be people like Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to all the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. That gospel saves us, he says, and it's the gospel of whom? Jesus Christ. And so that gospel message is a message for us to follow and imitate. When one is baptized into Christ, in Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, he's buried with the Lord by baptism into his death and raised to walk a newness of life. In Galatians 3, 27, it says that those who are baptized into Christ put on Christ. We find ourselves doing what the Lord said do, and we put him on. He's a defensive way for us. He is a shelter. He's a cloak for our life. If we're people who follow his will, we'll be doing that right way of the Lord. Look at Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. When he talks about the way that Jesus lived and the way he taught and the way he lived for us in life, we're to be people who follow that way of teaching of the Lord's will and way. If we don't get around to following the Lord's will in those matters, will we find that we are reconciled to God? Will we find that we're saved by the gospel? Will we find that we are in Christ Jesus by being baptized into him? Very likely we'll go to another gospel which is in belief only, and without doing anything, without responding to the Lord, just like Jesus said there in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he that do what? That doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of the Heavenly Father for which there to be one way to heaven. And in Matthew 7 and earlier in the verses that are listed there, what does he say about that decision on our part? Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That straight is spelled differently because it's a different meaning word. It is a word for difficult gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. The difficult gate to enter. Sometimes there are things we love to do and love to be and love to be recognized for. We don't want to give that up. We don't want to cease doing that. We don't want to quit doing that. And so we don't enter into that straight gate and walk the narrow way that leads where? Unto life. And few, Jesus said, there be that find it. Now the meaning of few in 1 Peter 3 in reference to the times of the flood and the days of Noah and his family, wherein there were 8 souls saved by water. The few of that day and time represented one man and his family as they decided to obey the Lord. Remember Brother Guy in Woods was talked about that way, and He said a man talked to him about how many people really were saved at that day and time. And he said, well, you know, if everybody had done what Noah did in teaching his family, and they believed what he said enough, that they were willing to get into that ark and be there during that time of that flood, would there have been a flood? Would there have been a flood that God would have put on the earth if mankind had been willing to follow that way? That's the idea in front of us, because when we find that straight gate and walk that narrow way, it leads unto life. Be a part of those few that find that. Now the world has increased in population since that day and time, of course, and a lot more people are involved in this thing. But today, if we'll be people who are kind to folks, and as we read there in regard to this matter of doing the Lord's will and the Lord's way, and there come those who teach us another gospel and another Christ and another way of going, what did Paul say to do? Quickly jump on them, quickly tell them they're wrong, quickly drive them out the door, quickly make them feel unwelcome. No, he said, bear with them. Bear with them. I mean, be patient with them. They have failed to understand the teaching of God's will and God's way. Show them wherein they can follow God's way and be obedient to his way. Because that's the gospel that Paul preached when he said there in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that he taught. And when he reminded them in Romans 6 that we were baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, he's saying that that was the way that we learned and that we followed. Did we not, brethren? Wrong. Why should we continue in sin then and have grace abound in the ideas that you have been taught? That grace will abound because the more sin you do, the more grace you'll need. That's not the idea. We have died to sin. Don't live any longer therein. Think about our ways of life and how we're people of the Lord. And then read in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. When he tells them that they're people who have the Lord to work with them and to follow with them. But if they're people who look at this situation in life and they become obedient to another gospel, or another way of life, and not the way of the gospel of Christ, they have no hope of entering into heaven with God. What if somebody says, what if the Lord has great mercy for them? And there are a lot of people that I've worked with through the years that I've asked the Lord to extend his grace toward them. They were sincere about what they were believing, sincere about what they tried to do. But I tried to show them that that wasn't in the context of the verses. That wasn't in the meaning of the word that the Lord and his servants used to be obedient to his will. And so they couldn't see it. They just could not see it. Somehow, I never figured out why they could not see it. Some people quickly could tell me, well, they didn't see it because they didn't want to see it. And seems like to me that that's not being very patient with them. As the Lord there through Paul said to those who come to you and claim to be a Christ or claim to be another gospel, be patient with them. Bear with them. Do not do that quickly. So I don't know that that's the way that it is, not. Would it surprise us along the way to have that blessing to be administered to them by the God of heaven who has great, wonderful mercy toward people? I hope that God has that great and wonderful type of mercy toward each one of us in this congregation. For there are words said and deeds that have been done and activities of life that have been rendered, that who can say that those things were always right, always the way to do it, always the will of God in it? But I hope that as they left this earth, they left this earth with an humble spirit, an humble way of life, and found themselves enjoying the wonderful grace and forgiveness of God as they got to life's other side. But when people get to another gospel, they go to the doctrines of men. They can talk about direct visions that they have had. And God speaks to them all the time as they go through their days. And they find themselves freed by prayer. And that's just not popular. They find themselves by faith only, which is said categorically in James 2:24, not by faith only we're saved. And some people just claim that there's no obedience at all, that our God in heaven is so good to us and so loving to us that we can be any way of life that we choose to be, enjoy any sinful ways of practice that we enjoy in life. But we're outwardly enjoying that. What about the inward man? Is he going to enjoy his relationship with the Lord at the judgment day? Or is that not what Jesus was talking about when he talked about that? Entering in at the straight gate and walking the narrow way that leads to life. And those will be the few that find it. What a blessing it is to have not this way of life to follow. Another gospel, another Jesus, another way. But the way that Jesus and Paul and others in the New Testament time so wrote down, so preserved for us, went to the halls of death to keep that Bible and books ready and available to people in the future generations. And down at the time we live, time, they barely could hardly see a time where there's so many Bibles in most families' homes, here in the South particularly. And to know so little about what they say, is it not a shame? But there were people who did this for the benefit of mankind. And they were punished unto death because they made available these verses we now read and quote and cite. They made available those verses for us to teach and to restore the Lord's church, not reform a church, but to restore the Lord's church. Jesus is said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 to be the Savior of the body, which is the church. Will he save you on the day of judgment? If we have been more than trouble and problems to people staying in denominationalism rather than talking with them in patience, and causing them to realize the difference in the gospel and another gospel. Think about that in your relationship to the Lord and our relationship to the Lord and all. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation or not, come and we stand as we sing together that song. Selected.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth that royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting throng and praise him, Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting throng and praise him, Lord of all.
Please.